More than 60% of B2B invoices are not paid on time. HighRadius AR automation solution has helped more than 700 of the world's leading companies minimize bad debts, DSO, and get paid faster with order-to-cash transformation. To supercharge your cash flow, visit us at www.highradius.com. www.highradius.com.
Here's your money briefing from Monday, April 4th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Rising prices and higher interest rates, not to mention bidding wars, are keeping many prospective home buyers on the sidelines. But there is some good news. Lenders are starting to relax some of the eligibility requirements to get a mortgage.
Some lenders are easing minimum credit scores and allowing borrowers to take out larger loans relative to the value of the homes they're buying. That's helpful because new loan types can allow for bigger loans or lower upfront payments.
WSJ economics reporter Orla McCaffrey tracks the housing market as part of her beat. Coming up, we'll talk to her about that and whether with rising inflation, there are concerns about home buyers getting in over their heads. That's after the break.
This podcast is sponsored by Genesys. Genesys Cloud Contact Center technology enables more than 70 billion remarkable customer experiences a year by using data and AI to better understand and predict your customers' needs. Learn more at genesys.com/superhuman.
The housing market hasn't loosened up, but higher prices and higher interest rates are now keeping many would-be homeowners from applying for mortgages, and that's not good for lenders. WSJ economics reporter Orla McCaffrey is here with us to discuss what they're trying to do about it. Hey, Orla, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Orla, first of all, catch us up on mortgage rates. We've seen them tick higher recently, but where do they stand as of now?
Mortgage rates, as of the last reading, are 4.67%. So really within sight of 5% for the first time in basically 4 years, which is crazy to think because they were low threes, high twos just at the end of 2021.
So rising rates typically translate to reduced demand by borrowers, right?
So overall, industry-wide, volume is down compared to the last 2 years, which were definitely a boom in the mortgage industry. And that's because refinance volumes have been driven down by high rates. But the important thing is there's still plenty of demand for purchase homes. Everyone wants to buy a house because rates are still historically low and rents are rising anyway. And a lot of Americans are placing more value on homes, right? Because for a lot of people, it's their primary workspace now too.
Okay, but this brings up the age-old question in this housing market, you know, age-old going back a year and a half, which comes down to extremely low inventory.
Yes, that's probably, if you ask almost anyone at any end of the housing market, whether it's an economist who looks at trends, whether it's a real estate agent, whether it's, you know, somebody just trying to be a first-time home buyer, low inventory is the big problem. I think the latest reading was at the current sales pace, there's 1.6 months of supply left on the market, which is just a record low. And that just increases competition for what would have been considered really not desirable homes just a couple of years ago. And that's really what's driving up prices so much.
So what does this all mean for prospective home buyers? How is this process actually becoming easier for them?
Some lenders are easing minimum credit scores and allowing borrowers to take out larger loans relative to the value of the homes they're buying. So that's helpful because new loan types can allow for bigger loans or lower upfront payments. And that extends consumers' purchasing power and can cushion the impact of the large price increases we've seen over the past 2 years. So it's not getting cheaper to buy a home or to finance a home. I guess there are just some more options on how to structure things that lenders are making available for borrowers. But I mean, across the board, for the average person who is trying to buy a house, you still have to be pretty well qualified. Credit standards are still historically pretty tight. It's not like now, you know, somebody who wouldn't have qualified for a mortgage a year or two ago will. They might just qualify for a bigger mortgage, or they might be able to structure their mortgage differently. So one thing lenders have started doing that is more common is allowing people to qualify for mortgages with bank statements and statements from their investment accounts that prove their assets, instead of the traditional pay stub income verification that lenders have used in the past. So this would be helpful for self-employed people, people who don't get regular paychecks from a company. So think of self-employed folks, and YouTube content creators are some folks who have benefited from this in the past. So that's just an indicator that lenders are really trying to broaden the pool of who can be qualified for a mortgage right now, because like I said, lenders are really gasping for breath when it comes to volume, and they just want to make sure that they're considering all potential applicants.
Are there certain kinds of loans that are becoming easier to get?
So some loans that they have been a little bit more willing to offer are jumbo loans, which are loans that you can't get a traditional conventional mortgage for because the loan amount is too big. And those loans are becoming more common, right? Because prices are going up. So people are having to take out bigger loans to finance these homes that would have been, you know, at a more reasonable price a year or two ago.
Okay, but let's look at this through the lens of home buyers' finances. When you look at high home prices coupled with nearly 8% inflation, are there concerns about affordability?
Absolutely. And the concerns about affordability only continue to grow. And it's interesting because earlier in the pandemic, we saw mortgage rates fall, right? That made buying a house, that made mortgage payments more affordable because we had yet to see this massive increase in home prices that we've seen over the past 2 years. This is also weighing on American households because, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, the median American household would need to devote 34% of its income to cover monthly payments on a median-priced home. And that is the highest since November 2008. So a lot of families are really just being forced with hard choices, whether they, you know, are going to choose to stop looking for a house now until hopefully things become more affordable, or maybe they get some boost to their family income. Or, you know, maybe they're just going to significantly lower their target price range to see if they can, you know, afford anything in their desired area. And another interesting dynamic we're seeing right now is that prices are rising at the same time as mortgage rates, right? So typically when mortgage rates rise at the pace we've seen them rise at, that weighs on demand from people who are trying to buy homes. It pushes people who are maybe on the margins just out, right? It makes almost any option unaffordable for them. But it's kind of having a, I don't know, like an interesting psychological effect on people where people are noticing, people are 100% noticing that rates are going up, that they're going to have to pay hundreds of dollars more a month in mortgage payments. And that is kind of pushing them even harder into the market because they want to get in now when rates are, you know, sub 5% instead of, you know, by the end of the year when they could be much higher than that. So that is why we haven't seen demand and in turn prices come down. Although economists do expect the rise in rates to have kind of a tempering effect on demand and prices in the long term.
Now, a moment ago, you mentioned that credit standards are pretty tight in order to get a mortgage. But we've heard some economists who follow the housing market raise concerns and draw comparisons to 2005 and 2006, you know, the period leading up to the housing crash. Are things different now?
Back then, credit lending, mortgage lending specifically, was a lot looser. There were way fewer requirements. You know, sometimes you get a mortgage without having proper income verification. Credit score minimums were not as high as they are now. There have been a good number of regulations put in place by regulators and Congress now to make it much harder to get a mortgage and much safer for borrowers, lenders, and the whole financial system to get a mortgage. So even though things are getting looser right now in terms of mortgage lending, historically, they are absolutely nowhere near where they were in the lead up to the financial crisis. And they're still not even as easy to get a mortgage as it was pre-pandemic. So the direction is getting looser, but I wouldn't describe the environment as a loose lending environment.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Orla McCaffrey. Orla, thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
Thanks, JR.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.